It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, because Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde will be on together later on in this Brian Belaga Homer Hour. I am a little worried because they were already together for like 3 hours. So I don't know if they can have the same juice that they normally have. I will have to ask Brian Belaga. If I had been on with somebody for 3 hours, when I'm on with him again the same day, unless something happens, I don't know how you can get A material.
There was some stuff that we didn't hit on that we wanted to hit on. So there's some questions I have, because there's definitely some stuff that I have questions about that we wanted to talk about that I didn't get any answers to.
Yeah, well, I got one question. It's not a question.
Okay.
They're not giving Jenkins anything. They're not giving him anything. The way Goody talks is like, well, if he misses a while, he's so good at the position, he'll be fine.
That's what it seems like, doesn't it?
Yes. Like, hey, and maybe it's because he's such a nice guy, or I've said this to Jason, I think it's stupid not to do something because you're asking him to change positions, and that would justify, you're still giving him the same amount of money, guarantee something, it's more a sign of, but maybe they're going with my theory that, well, we should pay him less because he's a center, not a guard, and we're giving him his same amount, so he should be happy. I don't know if that's... They probably haven't said that because that would probably irritate you. But their actions say everything he does and say from Goody, I'm thinking about, is like, he ain't changing anything. Show up when he shows up. Dude's great. He'll be fine.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. And I mean, the words certainly weren't that we're working through it. That certainly wasn't the comments.
Take all the time you want. We're good. Well, how much he played center after, you know, with no prep, or I don't remember, you would, but he basically acted like, dude could show up the day of the first game, he'll be fine, or I don't know.
It was something like that.
I may be overselling it, but that was certainly the tone. Like, he went about to say that he's even better than maybe he said before. Your thoughts?
Yeah, listening back to what he said, I mean, it was essentially saying that we think he's going to be fine, right? Like, I mean, he'll be, when he's ready, he'll be back, but we don't think he needs that many time, you know, that many reps. We want him out there, obviously. But then essentially kind of went into, a lot of guys are unhappy with their contracts in the NFL, and that was about the end of that. And then it went back to, we think he's a really good position at the player, and when he's ready to go, he'll be out there. And that was really the end of it, right? Like, I mean, that was the gist of what he said. There wasn't really any, you know, we're trying to work through it, and we're trying to find a solution for both sides. There was none of that. So, it doesn't sound like they are they're willing to come to a solution from a financial standpoint. At least that's what it appears. Now, we could be totally wrong on that, and they actually are figuring something out, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. I hope they are. I hope they're doing something, but I don't know, right? And because
you could check on this. I don't know his agent, but I would guess that if he was willing to test it a little bit, he probably would have gotten an agent that's a little more aggressive. Again, I don't know.
I don't know who his agent is. I don't know who the agents are. I don't know if he's with, I don't know if he's with Rock Nation or if he's with Lil Wayne's agent, Lil Wayne's agency. I forgot which one he's with. I remember, who he's with.
Says he's with Clutch Sports Group, Demaryius Bilbo, and Kelton Crenshaw.
Oh, so he's with LeBron James's guys, the Clutch Sports guys, I believe, right? That's what Clutch is, I think.
I believe,
Yeah, okay. So this is my only concern with it, right? Like, it, and again, Goody seems confident with it, which you know what? Like, hey, it is what it is. I'm confident with Elton's ability. That's one thing I am confident with. So, like, I'll just put that out there. I'm confident with Elton's ability. The one thing that concerns me is the longer it pushes into camp, right? You continue to push it deeper into camp. You get through, you know, family night. You get through preseason one. And say you push it all the way, getting closer to joint practice number one, and he's not doing anything. Now you're missing actual reps against opponents where you can be working on stuff with the starting five, where you can, you know, essentially get test runs, good test runs with reps where your quarterback.
I don't think Goody's even worried about that.
Yeah, I get that.
You
I
are.
Get that. Yeah, I get that. I understand he may not be like as a, you know, because like I don't know if they're on the road for the first one. I think they could be on the road for the first joint practice.
Yeah, Jason gave me the two dates. It is. The first one's on the road. Is it at Seattle and then the Indies at
the Colts,
home?
I think Seattle's with them at home and Colts are there.
There you go. All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
So they're on the road and like that would be, they'd probably be working silent count. They'd be working silent count, which is big for the center to get his silent cadence going. Like you would be going through all those things, which is a big deal. Like that's big time stuff to go through with your center and work through that and go through that. Cause you look at their first two games are at home. So they're not going through any silent cadence work and they're not really getting that stuff in. So like that's the time to go on the road and work that through practice and get those mechanics down. Like, so there's certain things that you look at and you kind of just like, oh, though there's an opportunity to kind of go through those mechanics and work through that with your starting center and the communication of that. And Jordan Love gets to go through that communication with the starting center. And if you miss that opportunity, when's the next time you get to go through that? So it's just, I'm just ballparking it. Like when would he be back? And, you know, and then he's still, at the end of the day, too, like, he's still got to get his pads on and get in game shape. Like, he still has to get his pads on and get in game shape. Like, this isn't like he shows up and he's just magically ready to go. Like, there is, like, getting in playing shape of football. Like, that is a real thing. I know everyone thinks it's kind of like Madden and you turn the game on and there we are. We just roll. You hit start and play. Like
when do you or he get that way, even if he realizes he's getting no guaranteed money? When do you have to do it based on what you believe you need to play at your level?
I would think, I mean, if it were me, I would think I would need probably 3 weeks of camp.
At a new position.
Yes, at the new position. I mean, but he's done this already. So he's done every position. So like he's like the outlier, this crazy.
So it's not accurate to say at a new position. He's played this enough that you think the adjustment is not there. It's the time just that he would need at any position. Okay.
Yeah, I think for him, 3 weeks is probably good for him. Now, for me, if you're changing a whole new position that you've never done.
Like if they moved you to left tackle.
Yeah, I would need the whole camp. I would need the whole camp. Mm. I would need every rep I could possibly that they would be willing to give me to get it done. Like, and that's what happened in 2013 before I tore my ACL in family night. I took every rep I could get. I took every single rep that they were willing to give me to start making that switch because you just need it to start building that muscle memory up from making a position switch. And you're hearing the calls flipped over in your head and you're working with a new guy and you're trying to flip all the calls in your brain on the move and your hand placement's different and the timing and everything is just, you're doing something completely different, but it's the same. And it sounds easier than what it is, but like it's a big change. And for him, since he's done it, I don't think he needs as much time, but 3 weeks, I mean, there's not that many reps to go around, if you think of it, right? Like, there's not that many reps. Like, the practice is an hour and a half. You know, maybe there's three or four team periods, and they go one, twos, and threes. Maybe there's 12 or 14 reps a team period. The ones are maybe taking 6 to 7 of those reps. You do the math, there's not a ton of reps. So, like, you look at the week, and then they're taking, what, 2 days on, 1 day off, or whatever it may be. There's just not a bunch of reps. So, like, I just look at it. I think 3 weeks, he would get what he would need to be ready to go week one against Detroit. But again, I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what Elton needs from that standpoint. Obviously, I don't know, and I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek, I don't know what's going on with his back, right? I'm not saying that in any jest.
I am. I want to say it in jest.
Okay.
I don't have the slightest worry about his back whatsoever.
I get it. You don't, but I'm just saying it from my standpoint. I don't know. I can't speak on it. I can't speak on it.
I know you can't speak on it, but how would you bet? Which way would you bet? I'm betting it's not serious. Yes.
No, yeah, yes. Yeah, I would bet it's not serious. Correct. I would bet it's not serious. Yes.
I'm assuming he'll be 100% for the start of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suspect that also that Goody thinks of him as so much a pro that he will, even if he's not happy about not getting guaranteed money, he will do things in a manner that is professional so that he's ready.
So I got a question.
Doesn't he have 2 years left in his contract?
Yeah, this and next.
Yeah.
And I guess here's my, and this is just me, as I read through that, through the transcript of it, I don't know how Elton thinks of it, and I don't know how maybe you think of it when you read it, or even you, Pebble. I guess the quote that said, "We've always done right by Elton, and he's always done right by us." How do you think that maybe sits with Elton? Because I just look at it from the standpoint, like, you're going through this right now, right? Like, you're going through this current situation. He's moving positions, right? It's kind of an unknown. He's approaching the age where everyone knows the Packers essentially don't like to keep guys.
He's got two years left. He's playing the next 2 years. He's too good not to. But he's going to play at their position. And
is that considered doing right by the player?
You'd have to look. I think this contract was pretty good contract, right? And so they don't feel like they have to guarantee it, but you can look at the money. And it's very simple. If he doesn't want to play center, here's my
question. Right. What if he outperforms that contract this year as the center? What if he plays unbelievable as a center? The highest paid center, I believe, is making $18 million this year.
And he's making what?
I think it's like, 13 this year? Then what? Then what?
We're happy for you.
Oh,
make it 13 next year.
You see now.
They're not going to extend it. Why would they extend it?
See, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
let me answer that since you hate me already.
I would assume,
and I would push for significant incentives.
You could,
means that if he does this or that, now whether or not they're willing to do that, but I think, hey, this is great. We got a great player for 2 years. And I think he could have very reasonably said, I don't want to play center. Now, you can answer this. So which position is harder? If center's easier, then they're paying him the same for a position that's easier. They're doing him a favor, not. And would you believe that you can play longer at that position?
I would say you could probably play longer at center. Mm. Yes, I do believe that.
What do you disagree with? You kind of get a little on edge because I think it's part of, they just take us for granted. Like, whatever we do, fine, thanks. You signed the deal. You know, we offered you that kind of money before we knew you were that good. Now the reality is they knew he was that good. That's why they gave him the money.
Yeah.
So
I get that. No, I understand. I get it. And listen, it's not chump change by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying that at all.
I'll say it if you won't. He deserves more. He's worth more.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying yeah. to get at. That's all I'm trying to say is that if he performs, say we go with what you're saying, and they say, oh, we're keeping him for 2 years, and he outperforms this year and plays right. great, right, and plays amazing, and you know, and they didn't, and say nothing happens on the deal, right? And Elton goes, fine, you know what? You're not adding any guarantee, whatever, fine. And he plays that and he performs amazingly this year. And say he makes
then,
a Pro
then
Bowl.
Then to Goody, if I'm Goody, I add a 1 year extension with some, because okay. I want him to be, he's so good. Now that he can decide and say, screw you, I'm not doing that. This is my last year and I'm out. But,
I'm with you on that. Because then that would boost up money and, okay, right. I'm with you on
and
that.
And we know, again, anytime I say something, you say I'm wrong. At that age, it doesn't matter how good you are, it's a 1 year thing for them every year.
Correct.
So 100%, I guess they may, if they gave him that bonus, then they're basically saying 2 years again. Yep. So you hope you get that. So yeah, you give. And I think that's possible. Because that's just not that big a money. That's not that much money. The signing bonus could be what, $10 million or something like that. And
yeah, it wouldn't be crazy,
right? If he's that good,
correct? Yeah, correct.
Because then if he's that good, and you hope your left guard is that good, your right guard could be. Hey, how good does he have to be? He's got Zach Tom on one side of him, and the center. He's got two All Pros.
Yeah, he can be protected. Yes. He can be protected, for sure.
All right, we've got Jason Wilde. I'll take this time to get my cot ready. Next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Jason Wilde's important, but Surfside is bigger. Take it away, Brian Bulaga.
That's right. I want to talk to you about my friends at Surfside. Summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than a nice cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Surfside tastes cleaner than all those other drinks you see on the shelf. It doesn't have that sweet, sugary taste that makes you regret drinking it after a few sips. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you've had those other drinks that you see on the shelf. Turn away from those. Trust me. Grab the Surfside. There's so many other great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and so many more. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripe, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. You must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
And I have...
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yes, I have the cot ready. Take it away, the doctor of football, Brian Bulaga. You guys are so good together.
Jason, good evening again. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, long time no talk. Was actually driving to Sid's volleyball tournament here and drove by a Surfside billboard. Thought of you.
Oh, how about that? Perfect timing. Indeed. So, I know when we last talked, you were walking back up from practice, but what were the interesting things from practice? Just give us a quick roundup while we have you. What were the quick roundup notes? I know it's just shells and helmets, but quick roundup, exciting things that took place at camp today.
Yeah, I'll tell you the one thing. I mean, again, as you and I discussed this morning while it was going on, it's still when it's, you know, helmets, jerseys, and shorts, it's really not the same as what it'll be on Sunday and when they have their first padded practice. But I got to say, I was standing with our buddy Tim Van Voren, and Mecole Hardman had a catch across the middle where he just snatched the ball between a couple of defenders. And I got to say, like, I was probably – again, I understand we're two practices in, but he did this in the OTAs and the minicamp as well. I probably underestimated his chances. Now, again, I don't know, you know, how things are going to shake out. Goody kind of intimated that Watson's going to start on PUP to start the season. He didn't say that officially, but he made it sound like that's the likely scenario. You got one of your wide receivers from last year in Bo Melton playing corner full time. So Mecole Hardman has made plays pretty much every practice I've attended. And so I think maybe we have to at least give him a little more benefit of the doubt that he's a more realistic chance to make this roster than we first thought. Now, he's obviously got to sustain it, but that was one thing that jumped out at me. You know, there were a couple of interceptions again today, but I think one was Elgersma. I think the other one was maybe Clifford. But there was also a play that jumped out at me because I think this is the kind of thing that where Jordan Love really excels. You know, he's never going to turn into Lamar Jackson, not going to turn into Josh Allen, but he's got an elusiveness inside the pocket, which, you know, I think is natural, but I think also probably being around Aaron helped him with that because Aaron was very good about those subtle movements to create space in the pocket. And he did that today and then made a really terrific throw to Matthew Golden between a couple of defenders, including Bo Melton, one of the defenders, for a big gain on a crosser. So those were some of the things that jumped out. And then just from my time in the locker room, I had a long conversation with Dontavion Wicks, and it was really, really interesting and hearing him talk about, you know, where he was at mentally last season and how that really impacted his performance because he's, you know, he's always been a pretty confident guy, but I think that was clearly dented. He was listening to too much of the outside noise. He was counting opportunities and reps. And you know how bad of a Mike McCarthy would call that polluted mindset that can be. So He says he's kind of freed himself of that and is hoping that that obviously allows him to have the breakout year in year three that he admitted he was expecting to have last year and a lot of other people were expecting him to have. And he didn't deliver it.
So with, I mean, obviously, like you said, there's a long way to go for Hardman. With Watson, like you also said, most likely going on PUP. I mean, let's be real. I mean, it'd be wise if he started on PUP, regardless of where he is at his rehab. It's just wise to do that. Let's be real. How many receivers, realistically, do you see them keeping? Like, in all honesty, like, how many can they keep?
Yeah, if they're going to classify Bo as a corner, which is what he's, I mean, he's wearing number 16. He's got a green jersey, which, again, for fans who haven't been to a practice before, the offensive guys like Bulaga wear white. The defensive guys wear green, and the quarterbacks wear red. But he, if you classify him as a corner, and you look at where they are on the depth chart at corner, like, you know, whether it's Kalen King or Micah Robinson or one of these, you know, Gregory Jr. that they picked up. I see a scenario where they say, look, we're going to classify Bo as a corner because we have to have him for special teams. I mean, they don't forget, they lost all their gunners, right? I mean, Corey Ballantyne's not back, or Flyers, as Bisaccia calls them. Ballantyne's gone. Robert Rochelle is gone. Like, they I think this is, and this is not just wishful thinking, I think they really want Bo on the team for special teams purposes, but they also know that they probably have guys at wide receiver who belong on the team more. So I think this is kind of a sleight of hand, a three-card Monty of his roster.
Yeah,
spot.
I'm joining that club.
So if that's true, you know, do they keep six? Do they keep seven? They kept seven before. But again, I don't want to get ahead of myself on Hardman. I just think that was, you know, one of the things that has jumped out at me again and again. The other part of this too is, you know, and it's been a while since they've done this, but it used to be, certainly under Ted and before that, definitely under Ron. They love the late in camp or at the trade or at the cut down deadline trade, where they get a future, you know, seventh or a sixth or whatever it might be, for a guy they were planning on cutting anyway. And so, and I don't know if there's any wide receivers that fit that bill, but like, if you see stuff, you know, this summer out of Matthew Golden that's really encouraging. If, you know, say a guy like Malik Heath, who's one of their best blockers, takes a meaningful step forward, and you're like, I don't know if we want to give up on this guy or you know, whatever. If Wicks plays like I think he and everyone thinks he's capable of playing, but hasn't done so consistently, maybe a guy like Romeo becomes, you know, expendable. And he has value. He's been productive in this league for 3 years to varying degrees. Maybe he's the guy that ends up being the odd man out. There was some talk about him being on the trade block. I'm not sure I believe that back in the off season, but maybe that's another way where you keep the guys you really want. You make a trade that, who knows, maybe, you know, you can get something for him that's better than what you would get for the compensatory pick if you let him sign elsewhere in March.
So with Elton not practicing, right, and the starting lineup, or for the starting offensive line currently going, Seed, Banks, Sean Ryan, Morgan, and Tom, what, there's a couple factors here, and I know you know it. What do we make now of the left tackle competition? And then what do we make of when Elton eventually does return? What do we make of Sean Ryan then having to try and reclaim back a right guard spot that he has taken no reps at up until that point? What does that mean then for him?
Yeah, it's obviously not ideal. Now they've been doing some juggling, and I do think that, you know, Steno and Butkus understand that. Look, eventually Elton's going to be here. We can't just make Sean Ryan work at center all the time. So they had some where they mixed in Monk with the ones, so Sean Ryan could work at right guard. You know, what I thought was interesting today was that they took some reps off of Aaron Banks, and it was Travis Glover, who obviously had a tough time, if we're putting it politely, in the playoff game after Elton departed after four snaps. And so, you know, that's a big opportunity for him, right? Like, you know, and I know I tease you, and it's only because I love you, buddy, but, you know, I give you a hard time about that game in Seattle and Bruce Irvin, right? I mean, sometimes things just go badly, and it doesn't mean you're a bad player. But, and this is where why I'm bringing you up, you know, you didn't go in the tank, right? Hey, bad game. I'm better than that. I'm going to be better than that. And then, you know, that was what, 2012? You had a great career after that.
Glover was way worse than Bulaga ever was in any game in his career.
I'm not saying that they were the same level of bad. I'm saying that resiliency is important. And Brian, unlike Glover, had 2010 and 2011 to lean on and say, look how good I've been. I have a single doubt in my mind that this was just a crummy day, right? Whereas Glover, that's all he has. Right? I mean, he barely played snaps last. I don't even know if he had, you know, more than like three or four offensive snaps all season before he had to play in that game against arguably the best front four in the league. And he got cooked. And then he got benched. And then he had to go back in after there was another injury. So to me, and the reason I brought that up is not to be a jerk, even though I have been known to be one from time to time. It's because, you know, if he can take this and say, all right, now I'm building myself back up, so I'm ready for the next chance when they give it to me, that's great. If that destroyed his confidence, he's a quiet guy to begin with. If he didn't move on from that, and if he's not going to utilize this training camp to turn things around, you know, then they're going to find other guys on the offensive line.
Jason, he also might not be any good. Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with mental or breaking down.
Certainly it's possible. Yeah. Well, I think in fairness to him though, like he's a sixth round pick from Georgia Southern. Like, you know, he didn't play top flight competition. It's not like he played at Georgia. And so their plan for him was for him to be like one of those redshirt guys, right? Like I was use Marco Rivera as the best example. Or I think TJ Lang kind of took a red shirt his first year too. Like, we know this guy's going to be good, or we think this guy's going to be good. He ain't good now, right? I mean, I think that's going to be their approach, preferably with Belton, even though he's a second round pick. But when you get forced into the fire, you can either do what Tausch did in Buffalo in 2000 and rise to the occasion and be really good, or you can get it handed to you. And then if you did get it handed to you, what are you going to do about it?
What is, I guess, you know, obviously a lot of the onus has been, or a lot of things have been talked about, the D-line. What have those guys been saying about kind of the second year in this defense, expectations, what they kind of fell short on last year and then coming into this year? What have those guys been saying, those front four guys or the pass rushers, so to speak, coming into this camp and kind of what they're looking for out of themselves this year compared to what happened last year?
Yeah, I know Kenny Clark was talking today while I was talking to Dontavian Wicks, so I haven't looked at that transcript yet. But I have not seen Lucas Van Ness in the first 2 days we've been in the locker room. He had a nice pressure on Love yesterday that clearly would have been a sack if they were live. And then, you know, I don't want to say that, again, only two games or only two practices. They're not in pads. But remember last year we were extolling the virtues of their pass rush and how Jordan Love was under siege for lengthy parts of training camp. You know, I haven't seen that through two practices. Again, when the pads are on, it means more. But, you know, maybe it's better if we're not saying, oh, my God, Rashawn Gary was dominant all training camp, because then obviously we got to the season, he wasn't so dominant. So, you know, I think those guys – talking to them in the off season, you know, Rashawn's not wired to talk about them in terms of, oh, we could have been better in this or that. I think Lucas Van Ness has been much more open about how disappointing they were in terms of what they did up front. And so I think he understands, especially individually, that this is a really, really big year and he's got to be better. I think there's a greater comfort level, whether that translates to greater production, or if it's like Homer is saying about Travis Glover, maybe he's just not very good. I don't want to believe that, but I have to at least allow for that possibility.
Why don't you want to believe that?
Because he has the tool, like he's built like a you know what, and you know, he's, again, you know, he did something that, and Brian can speak to this, that Iowa guys don't do. Like, he left before he started a game there. He played 2 years there. He was a situational, you know, rotational guy, but he's got all the tools, but he's still, like, scratching the surface. And for me, and obviously for Brian, who's blocked these types of guys, like, he's power, power, power. And then he had the broken thumb last year. Like, unless he develops a variance of moves and being able to go power to speed or speed to power, guys like Brian would eat him up. But I refuse to believe a guy from Iowa is just not very good, because that very rarely in the history of me covering the team, I think Abdul Hodge is the only one that they've drafted. And they've drafted a lot of Iowa guys. I think Abdul Hodge is the only one that was like, yeah, this guy's not quite as good as they drafted him to be.
All right. That's curious. Did you guys discuss earlier our discussion that what Goody said is they're not giving anything to Jenkins? He comes in 2 days before, he's fine, he's a great center, he'll be all right.
We did not.
Hear the same thing from Goody as I did?
Yeah, Brian, what'd you think?
I mean, it's what kind of sounds like to me. It sounds like the Packers have dug their feet in. That's what it sounds like to me. And it's going to be, how far does Elton dig his feet in? That's what this sounds like currently.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see how long this
goes. Eventually he's going to lose, right? Like, eventually he wants to be, if this goes all the way into August, which, again, I don't know if it's going to, I saw Elton today. I did not speak to him. But if it goes, you know, past family night and you start to get a little nervous, you know, he's got to get ready, like, because don't forget, he's a vested veteran. He needs to be active, you know, week one, so he can get his $11 million base salary for this year guaranteed. Otherwise, not only is he not getting other money guaranteed from this team, he's losing out on the money that he would have guaranteed if he just plays in the first week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Jason, do you think he's going to get any guaranteed money, yes or no?
I don't. Which I think is wrong and a mistake. But we'll see.
Yeah, we will. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I'm ready to roll again. Next quarter, coming up. The Holtebeck Eye Center. I went there a long time ago. Dr. Aaron Holtebeck was there, and I went through everything. And it was clear they made vision care a top priority with the latest technologies at the state-of-the-art Brookfield office. Talked about how they've been doing it right for 20 years. Then he said, but we got to get better. Really? Yeah. Got to get better. Got to help even more. So they added Dr. Nausheen Abbas, joined the team, and they are now accepting new patients. Good, and they want to get even better. Don't mess with your vision. Trust the experts from Holtebeck Eye Center in Brookfield near the corner of Calhoun and Capitol. Learn more about their services at holtebeck.com. It doesn't happen often. Take advantage of it now. They are now accepting new patients. Holtebeck Eye Center. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Yes, you guys were great, given that you talked for 3 hours earlier today.
You still had some material.
Yes, you definitely had some material. We haven't talked about the union and how bad that went. Sure. We both predicted the guy was going to lose his job.
Yep.
But the question that I have is, isn't there like an executive committee of how many players, and aren't they to some degree responsible for putting someone like that in office? And as a follow-up, you can address it. Treader, to me, just quit because people were just crushing him for his so-called involvement, and I think he felt like he didn't do anything, and I'm just not going to be a part of this anymore. I don't know if either of those are accurate, but you have what's the executive committee? Isn't it like 12 or somebody?
Yeah. So what
they should all get fired, but go ahead.
Yeah, so how it goes is the 12 executive committee guys, how I read it was the 12 executive guys vote on the two finalists, and they did vote on the two finalists, and they vote, and they vote in confidence, but then the 32 player reps vote, and that's the final vote on who gets elected. And the 32 player reps from each team voted on the guy that was elected and eventually stepped down. Now, the 12 executive members, I guess in 11-1 or whatever it was, voted for the other guy. But they don't share that information not to sway the vote.
What?
That was the way it went. That's
idiotic.
The way I read it.
All right, I'm one of the people, like I'm the Packer, whenever you are. I want that smaller group because they are going to have to spend more time, whatever. And then I'm going to listen to what they say.
I would like that information on why they voted for who they voted for.
Yeah.
100%. There's no doubt. And
is that the way it's always been?
I don't think. I think it got changed.
Oh, well,
I think it's been changed. And it sounds like JC stepped down. Because it sounds like there's a lot of bad things going on within the union, like inside the union, okay. Right? Like, and I don't think JC wants, because I think what JC's concern was that he was like planning, like for some reason, like he was planning this, like now he wanted to step into this role. Like he wanted the executive director role, like, and now this all went and
right.
Now
and I know
right
what
in.
I'd be like, if you're that stupid, I'm not going to be a part of this.
Yes,
you're idiot.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know me better than that, given all that I've done, right?
Yeah,
I'm getting out of
like,
here.
Yep, that's why he's like, I'm out. I don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
And from the way I understand it, there's a lot of it's not good at the union. Like, things are not good. There's a lot of people that behind the scenes are not doing good things. And to me, like, that is so bad for the guys. Like, it's bad for the guys. And it's not looking up for the best interests of the players. And to me, like, it's so counterproductive of what the union's supposed to be doing for the current players, the future players, and the former players. And that is, it's such a shame. It really is. It is a shame. And this is the weakest point for the players right now. This is it. Like, this is the weakest point for the NFL players right at this moment.
But it should be, because whatever they did was idiotic. Like, you have each team has a rep, all right? So then as we're all reps, I want to pick, I don't know if the executive is 4, 6, whatever it is. I'm going to pick the guys that I think are the smartest. And you guys represent us. And then you decide whatever, because you, I don't want to spend that much time. And then you tell us, right? And then we vote.
Yeah, you,
I'm going to vote. I'm going to, unless I have some personal disagreement, I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. Right?
Yes. I want to hear your recommendation.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
At least I think so.
Well, no, that's come on, Brian. This isn't football. This is like right? Any group, you put a small group of, when you have that many, you don't want 32 people deciding. It can take forever.
Well, this is, and now we're getting into hiring CEOs, right? Like how big businesses hire CEOs. And this is where the players struggle, right? Like this is what we're talking about, right?
Come on, they should hire me. It's not that hard. We get the 32 together. All right. It's like when Jim McElvain, Patrick Ewing, he said, McElvain, he's in charge. Matt, what should I do? He called him the CPA. But, no, you pick the group that you think, one, they're the smartest, but also are interested in spending extra time. And then they should be smart enough to say, well, hire a consultant or somebody.
They did hire the consultant. The consultant got it down to these two guys, The executive committee voted on the two guys they came up with their vote. And then the 32 reps voted on the final.
But the 32 reps did not know. You said the executive committee didn't vote on the guy who won. They voted on the other guy.
Yep, but their vote, it's the 32.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yep. And that's how it goes.
Well, I'll just tell all of them. They deserve what they got. Like, how can the 32 create an executive committee and then say, we don't know what we don't care what they think, right?
It makes no sense.
It makes absolutely no sense, yes. But you should be in charge. Come on.
No thanks. Don't want it.
Yes, they need you. What do you mean you don't want it? You'd be smart enough to then pick who you do want to have do it, right? If you don't want it.
Yeah, I mean, yes, to vet properly to run this union, yeah, you got to have, it needs to be vetted way better, way better.
I mean, it's hard for me to comprehend. Now I can see how nobody knew about all this stuff was going on because nobody knew on the outside. You mean you have an executive committee and nobody listens to them?
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Can't help you any more than this. Fisco Auto Body, they're fantastic. You like them, you'll thank me. How do I know they're fantastic? Because it's a family business, Fisco Auto Body, on Forest Home in Franklin, known since 1931. And it's a family business. The family's still doing it. So it's not what they do, it's who they are. You can imagine how early they start working on this stuff. Yeah. With diapers still on, I'll bet. And by the time they're doing it for you, they got it wired. That's why they're so good. Family business, family still doing it. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Expert workmanship, guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Fisco, 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 to remember the name. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. Hulk Hogan passes away. You could. It seems to me you could have been a pretty good professional wrestler. Did you have any interest, any players that you knew that became professional wrestlers?
Yes, I do. Big E from Iowa. He was he's a professional wrestler. Well, now he's just commentating for them. He's like on the pregame show. He wrestling named Big E. He went to the University of Iowa. He was a WWE wrestler.
Did he ever tell you to become a professional wrestler? Did anybody ever say that you should? Am I the first one?
You're the first one.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you're the first one. But no, I my kids love it now. That's all they watch is WWE. That's all they watch.
All right, now to me, unless. Who's the guy that I like? He does the actor now. The Rock. No Rock, yep. No wrestling. Do they have somebody new other than The Rock? Maybe I have to give somebody else a chance. How about your kids?
Oh, they like Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso. I mean, they got a bunch of different characters now these days.
You never wanted to be a professional wrestler.
No. No.
I won't ask why because we're out of time. Maybe the next show. ESPN National. What would the nickname have been for Brian Bulaga? Yeah, we'll think about that next.